opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Good morning and welcome. Hey, we got the Blitz going today. It is a Tuesday morning.
It is a beautiful day.
November 12th.
Is it beautiful?
Yes.
You like the snow?
Yes, I do.
I don't mind I like the snow, it but a like lot. If we're actually going to get snow, give me some snow. Don't give me this. Piss poor stuff out there right
What's
now.
What's wrong with this? Is a good snow. You know what you can do with this
it's
snow?
Pretty weak though.
No, this is a very, very good snow.
What
it's
can
very
I do
wet.
With it?
It's a very wet snow. You can make good snowballs. You can make
Have
snowmen.
Have you tested this yet?
Yes.
Okay.
You were throwing snowballs this morning?
Maybe. Maybe I was throwing them at the neighbor's door.
Interesting.
Who knows?
Heathen. Very degenerate of you.
But yes, it's Heathen. A good snow. It's not the too soft. Powdery stuff that you can't form into anything. It's a good snow.
I feel like for a November snow, like it's pretty good, right? The December snow that we'll get, that'll be real, you know, real true. Pack it up. You can't see any of the grass underneath kind of snow. This is just November snow right now. This is this is like the trailer for the movie before the movie actually comes out.
Rick, I'm not sure if you're aware of Tennessee winter, but we've not had a good snow in a long time.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
I have been here almost 5 years now, and I have seen
there's been some okay snows in the last 5 years.
Many times where there's been good snow.
You're also from Texas, though, so you know you never saw a lot of snow, right?
Yeah, that's true. So my what's the word I'm looking for? Like my expectations are totally different.
Your snow meter.
Yeah, my snow meter. That's
different.
A good one. Like this
snow meter.
His snow meter
is just off the charts right now. This for me is like,
yeah, if you like, we're
oh
from
my
Texas,
God,
if...
I don't know how people are driving on the roads.
The
I don't
roads.
Know how I got to work. It took me 10 minutes to scrape off all the snow on my car today.
No, so you know what you do? You hop in, you dust off the you dust off your windows, driver's side, passenger side. You leave the two, who cares about the two back windows? You get the back off, turn your windshield wipers on, boom, you're good to go.
Who cares about the back two windows? That's your blind spot mirror. You want to take a chance on the blind spot with snow on the ground?
Eh? Right? Sounds like a very reckless driver.
I made it here. No problem.
Very reckless.
Well, that is true.
I'm sure to let you leave very early.
That is true. All right, so the first snowfall of the year, that's all right if you're into it. But let's not bury the lead anymore. Yesterday, there was a Monday Night Football game. Yesterday, there was a win on the line for one of the NFL teams. There were confidence picks on the line for us, but none of those were as important.
What are you doing over there?
None of those were as important.
What are you doing?
As the fish.
I'm getting my mic. I'm getting ready.
And his bet.
So they're just popping his mic like it's not live.
How does it feel? How does it feel, fish?
I don't know if it's set in yet. I was ecstatic last night. Oh my gosh. I didn't go to sleep till like
if it's set in, you didn't win the lottery, kid.
Hey,
if it's set in yet.
1800, 1900's a whole hell of a lot though.
Yes,
and it goes a whole hell of a lot faster than a lot more monetary increments. I'm good, happy for you, Fizz. What'd you lose? So what'd you actually win? Like 1500 after you hedged?
No, I won 1,800 after I hedged.
18.
So what was the story of how the game was going for you? So you had your bet going into the first game, right? You had not hedged until this point.
No. So I had my original bet of 120 to win $1,904.
Okay.
So I was a wreck, you know. I was a wreck all game.
You were a wreck.
I was a wreck all game. And then at the end of the third quarter, I had several people telling me, like, you hedge. You got to hedge. This is your hedging opportunity.
This is it.
So San Francisco went plus 300 when they were down 11. And so I was like, oh, gosh, I'm going to – if I would have bet 500, it would have paid out 1,500 either way. And that's what I should have done, but I only had $200 in my account. And I was like, okay, I'm just putting this 200 on. So after the third quarter, I would have won 1,800. That's – if the Seahawks won,
right,
or 600 if the 49ers won. So
really what you did after the third quarter was you took away 100 from your potential winnings from the Seahawks, like, right, the big pot of money.
Right.
You basically took 100 out of that, but you also said, in case the Niners come back, you'll still be able to make money.
Yeah, a little insurance policy.
Wow. Smart guy. Smart guy. The stars aligned the right way.
It doesn't take a smart guy to figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're not.
I think
why didn't you make the bet, Brandon?
I think that you have to – you got to know what you're talking about. I agree with Brandon, though. To be able to hedge at the right times, I think you certainly got to be able to know what you're talking about. You got to be kind of smart for that.
If nobody would have talked you into hedging, would you have hedged still? Honestly, you probably wouldn't have hedged, right, if nobody says anything?
No. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't in a great thinking mood last night, so I welcomed all the help. So,
so what do you plan to spend all your money on? That's the most important question.
Well, I've already got a good amount saved up for my trip. Yeah. And it usually takes about a week for this stuff to come in. You know, a lot of times when you come back from a vacation, you're broke for a little while.
Well, oh, yeah.
This will be good. I'm going to come home to a nice $2,000, so that'll be nice.
You go. Look at that. Weston Brown, the fish himself, wins big last night for Monday Night Football. Way to go, my friend. So are you gonna do the same thing again next week? Are you going to bet a little bit more this time?
No.
Are you feeling a little good about yourself?
I cashed out $1,900, so, and it's like a $40 fee or something to cash out.
Weston.
So
I feel like it's time to double down.
Yeah, some good games this week, dude.
Feel like it's time to double down.
I got $80 in my account. I'm probably gonna run another three-team parlay. Hey,
think what could happen though if you took some of that 1,900.
Nope.
Think what could happen though.
1,900 on a solid three-team parlay this weekend.
Think about even just $500.
Think about it. It's
on an investment.
This is $1,700 that is just free money.
Scared money don't make money.
Scared money don't make no money.
House money. So, I mean, if you're going to bet, I mean, that's the time to do it.
Yeah. But while you're up, that's what they say. That's what the big sharks say.
Yeah, I don't feel confident, though. I feel like I'd lose it.
Because when you have more money, you're able to play around
a
little more.
Right, it is the theory of progressive betting.
It's like when you're playing poker.
It is,
and you got the chips. You're the chip leader, and you can just bully everybody out the pots.
Yeah. Well, it's like what you got to do when you play blackjack, right? At least when I play blackjack,
right,
you start with the minimum bet, right? And then each time you win, you throw a little bit more in. If you lose that hand, then maybe you take some out. But it's progressive betting. I feel like you have to double down next week.
Nope.
Okay.
I've already cashed out.
Oh.
Yeah.
They'll let you cancel that request.
Our
friends in my bookie, they would love for you to go ahead and bet one more time, Weston. See?
And I know they would.
Like
That's
Weston,
what they want.
You can win too. Head over to my bookie, use the promo code Knoxville while you still can on that first deposit, double your first deposit, and you can be like the fish, be betting on all these parlays. It makes it a lot more fun when you're watching
the games.
Yeah,
that's the best kind of advertisement you can get is if we
a
got our own guy right here. Making a 1,900 off of 120.
How much or how nervous were you when the 49ers lined up to kick that field goal there with like 4 minutes?
They're in overtime.
How nervous were you?
I was nervous, but it was. I mean,
you still had $600 that you knew you were going to win
the other way,
but $600, $1,800.
So it was like a calm nervousness.
What?
I don't think he was probably calm at all.
A calm nervousness.
I'm trying to think about that kick. Just, yeah, I was nervous, but I feel like I was more nervous, like, at points throughout the third quarter.
Before you made the bet.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, right? Because you can be nervous, but it's still kind of a calming feeling knowing that you're going to come out in the green no matter what.
Right.
Wow. Weston wins big last night for Monday Night Football.
Oh.
Weston wins big. I won big.
No one cares.
Oh, the confidence
Brandon
picks.
And Chance. Forgot all about it that. It was a tough. The wild card certainly reared its ugly head for two of the gentlemen in this room right now.
It's all right.
Because we ultimately, like everybody had similar weeks. Nobody had good weeks by it. A lot of red on the ledger here. But it is that definitely kind of separated the – well, let me just be honest. It separated Weston from everyone else. Now there is a great logjam for second place. Weston, you are head and shoulders above everyone right now.
How much am I leading by?
You have 467, and the next closest is 426. So you are 41 ahead of the next.
Call it. Wave the white flag.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Still a lot of games to pick, Weston.
There
still
are.
A lot of games.
Hey, I feel like we should make this rule
wild
now, though.
Wild card. Has to be a wild card every so often. I like that.
See,
nope.
But I feel
we,
like
we already
gotta,
said no, one time.
No, that's not what we said. We said
yes,
we
did.
We did.
Roll the tape.
That. No, we didn't. Actually,
yes, we did.
Hello, dude. We actually said that we might have to bring this back every so often is what I remember Brandon and Rick saying. And I'm not just saying that.
I thought we did mention maybe one at the end of the year.
Yeah, we said we'd bring
that was back. That was kind of my idea. The thought process was, all right, we're kind of right in the middle of things right now. This is more or less of our all-star break, if
saying,
you will, right in the middle
week.
Of the season. I feel like we should definitely have one big one towards the end of the season, and we'll see how things go from there. But yeah, hey, aside from the betting, aside from the confidence picks, it was one of the most fun regular season football games that I've seen last night between the Seahawks and the Niners. You could tell that there was so much on the line for both teams. The Niners' undefeated streak comes to a close. They lose right there in the final fainting seconds of overtime. The Seahawks win the game 27-24. Seattle goes 8-2 on the year, and San Francisco goes 8-1 with their first loss. Russell Wilson was a star. Jimmy Garoppolo was good, but man, what more can you say? Just so much fun of a game.
Yeah, I mean Russell Wilson put on a show. Probably made a heck of a case for MVP last night.
Certainly,
I think you could tell that the 49ers definitely missed George Kittle. I thought Jimmy Garoppolo didn't look comfortable all night. And then you add Emmanuel Sanders going down as well. Mm-hmm. You lose him for basically a little bit over half the game as he goes down to the second quarter. And then after that, the 49ers really, I think, kind of struggled to move the ball.
Yeah, I just think it was the injuries affected them, like you say. I don't know if it's so much Kittle, but definitely when he lost Sanders, that's their number one receiver now.
That was huge in the middle of the game because ultimately that's their top two receivers right there.
But they were moving it nice, you know, still nonetheless, and they were able to compete. And they had a chance to win the game. Kicker blew it, rookie kicker. Robbie Gould's out. He's hurt. So really having that rookie kicker out there kind of burned them. It helped them get into overtime, but at the same time it burned them late.
It is kind of crazy when you look back at this game how many non-offensive touchdowns there were. Jadeveon Clowney gets the 10-yard fumble return for a touchdown in the second quarter. One of the Jacob Hollister, I believe it was the Jacob Hollister touchdown in the third quarter, was set up via an interception. Then in the fourth quarter, you get DeForest Buckner for the Niners. He gets a 12-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown. And then obviously we hit overtime after that. But there were so many ups and downs to this game. At one point in overtime, with, let's see, 6.5 minutes left of overtime, the Seahawks had a 94% chance of winning. And then just a couple minutes later, 3 minutes later, the Niners then have an 85% chance of winning. And then, just a couple minutes after that, the Seahawks hit the game-winning field goal. Just a total roller coaster last night from Monday Night Football. But that's not the only game we have. Tennessee Volunteers basketball comes out on the court tonight for their second game of the season. We will get you ready for that as Tennessee takes on the Murray State Racers and Thompson Bowling Arena tonight, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We'll get you ready for that game coming up next. Tennessee Murray State basketball tonight. You're listening to the Blitz Fan Run Radio. Don't be so quick to walk away. 10:22 a.m. back here on the Blitz. Rick Butler, Chance Collins, Brandon Orrick, and Weston Brown. Starting a little bit with Monday Night Football, talking about Weston's big payday from last night. But fellas, tonight is another big game. Tennessee has their second regular season matchup of the year so far. We welcome the Murray State Racers into TBA. Murray State, 1-0 on the year so far. They beat Southern University, about 3 days ago. They won that game 69-49. Now, look, this is another game where I don't really think that Tennessee should have a ton of worry for. I think that if you see Tennessee go out and play the same games that they've been playing lately, then you do win that game. Or you will win this game, excuse me. But Murray State is not the University of North Carolina at Asheville. Not by any means. Murray State, a much better team, much higher quality. So it will be tougher. I think that you will see certainly a little more effort coming out of the opposing team today. But I still think that Tennessee will get the win today. Brandon, what do you think about this game for the Vols tonight?
I still feel pretty good about Tennessee. One thing about Murray State is they've got they're big. They've got some big guys that can play. So Tennessee's post defense is gonna have to be pretty good. People forget. That they lost Ja Morant, but still have a lot of guys from that team last year that went to the NCAA tournament and won a game. I can't remember who it was that they beat.
They beat Marquette.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they lost to Florida State.
So yeah, but they've got talented guys. With that being said, though, I do think Tennessee should still get the job done. But it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be no pushover. If Tennessee can't close out, if you'll remember against UNC Asheville, had a tough time closing out the first half, had a tough time closing out the second half. If you do that against Murray State, might be a different outcome.
Well, I worry for Tennessee. You were talking about closing out things. That's actually kind of funny because my worry was going to be how you start things. So maybe it's not really a good sign if your worry is them closing out and my worry is them starting the game. But I think that today you're really going to have to kind of come out, lean on the guys who will get you early buckets, right? Like I don't really want to try to get a guy going to start off the first 5 minutes. I want to keep the ball in our playmakers' hands. I want Lamonte Turner to have the ball. I want Jordan Bowden to have the ball. Even Fulkerson. I would like to get the ball to him early in the game. Let's be more physical, and I just think that getting out to that early lead is going to be so important because Murray State certainly going to be a team that, even if you're up by, say, 12 or 14 going into half or maybe through a couple minutes into the second half, I absolutely think that Murray State is certainly a team that can come back and close that gap at any point. So for Tennessee, I think this is going to be about playing a complete game from the opening tip until the final whistle blows. And that's great for Tennessee because these are the things that you're going to need to be doing here in the beginning of the season to really kind of work on it. Let's not forget, we got some tough matchups coming up. Our next game after this here on the 16th, which is
Saturday.
This Saturday night, we play Washington, who is ranked on the year so far. So this is kind of our final test before we go and play a ranked team to start off the year. This is going to be a big game for Tennessee. I'd like to see Josiah Jordan-James get worked more into the offense today so that you can have him maybe going at a better rate for Washington. Maybe some of these other guys that you can get. Maybe we see a Kamwa. Kamhua?
Kamwa.
Kamwa. That's right. Maybe we see him come early, come earlier into the game. I don't know. I think there's a lot of different ways that Tennessee can go at this. But all in all, I think that the most important thing is just playing a complete game. Murray State, they're never really going to be out of it, in my opinion. They can always come back. But I think that Tennessee is going to be playing with the lead. Let's see how well Tennessee, this team right here, can play with the lead. We were a little shaky on the first game, but that's okay. That's your first game. Let's see how Tennessee can do it this year. Or, excuse me, this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good test. I think it'll be a good test, like you said, to get you tuned up for Washington on Saturday. Who, I don't know that much about them. I know they got the guy from Kentucky.
Well, I think to watch tonight would be how's Tennessee defend around the perimeter. They got some guys that can shoot from the outside, and that's something that Tennessee struggled last season with. You didn't really get tested in your first game versus UNC Asheville. But at the same time, Murray State's going to be a little bit better. It should be a pretty good test playing, a pretty good mid-major that's been to the last couple NCAA tournaments. This is a team that John Morant was on last year. They had some good players that were surrounding him that can actually shoot the ball. And then you got to think they're pretty experienced because they've also been to the tournament. So it's a pretty nice test versus a reputable mid-major that's been pretty reputable in the Ohio Valley Conference for a lot of years now.
Yeah, certainly. Murray State is always kind of one of those teams, right, where you see hovering around the NCAA tournament. Certainly, the basketball for them, this is a big sport for them. And this is obviously going to be a huge game. I think that they really want to kind of change the narrative because a lot of people learned about Murray State last year. Brand said, like you with John Morant. And so I think that this team certainly is going to want to come out, make a statement win at the beginning of the year. Beating Tennessee at their home, certainly a statement win. So they're going to be coming out.
Yeah, a lot of teams, the Murray State got on the map last year because of job. But
yeah.
Me, before I came to University of Tennessee, I was a transfer from Austin Peay. So I saw a lot of Murray State back in the day. I mean, they've always been coached well, always had teams that are very competitive that can beat, top-notch Division I talent. They can do that. They're going to play hard. It's going to be, one of the biggest games on their schedule. So they're going to be hungry. But Tennessee should handle them. I'd say, anywhere from a 8 to 10-point victory.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what I have it as.
I don't think it's going to be like a blowout, but, they should win by about 10. I don't know what the spread is on that. We'll have to look at my
bookie. I think it's 12.5.
12.5 tonight, yeah. So I'd see them probably being a couple points underneath the spread.
Yeah, I'd say the same, just because you are still getting a lot of things worked out. I think that they will certainly use this opportunity to get things ready for their next couple of games. You look at their next couple of games, and it's going to be a tough. You got Washington. Then you're going back to the smaller teams a little bit. I think you're playing Alabama State and Chattanooga. But then you're right there in the Emerald Coast Classic against FSU and the winner of either Purdue or someone else.
Well, one of them. If you win, you play the winner.
Yeah. So these next couple games are going to be big for Tennessee. We're right in the middle of the thick of things already. It's just November. We're already playing ranked teams. We're already in tournaments. Here we go. This is what the season's going to look like. Murray State tonight from Thompson Bowling Arena and Assembly Center, 9 o'clock p.m. from the SEC Network. How about that? Does Tennessee go 2-0 tonight? I say yes.
I would say yes as well. Tickets as low as a dollar.
Low as a dollar.
Tickets
as low as a dollar if you would like to go.
$1.
Wow. Nice.
I wonder where that – it's probably just at the very top.
But. You get a dollar ticket, you work your way down. Everybody knows the hustle.
There you go. Man, that is a hustle.
You just got to get into the building.
That is a hustle. Hey, if you're doing that, you look at StubHub 5 minutes before the game starts. You see which seats are not ticketed or haven't been bought yet. Yep. That's where you slide
in. And that's where you slide into.
Boom! That's how you
knowledge.
Play the system. back here on the Blitz, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Murray State, Tennessee, tonight at 9 p.m. from TBA. But, of course, we are also smack dab in the middle of really one of the wildest football seasons I think that a lot of us have probably ever seen. I mean, you start out 1-4. What are you now? 5-5. 5-5. Fairly remarkable. It is amazing that we've gone 4-1 over the last, 5 weeks?
4-2 over the last 6 games.
That's wild.
So are you sold that Jeremy Pruitt is the guy moving forward? Has he sold you?
I'm sold on the fact that I believe in where he's going. Right? I'm not sold on the fact that he is a long-term great head coach, right? Who's been through ups and downs and can, you know, work his way through that. I'm not sold on that yet, but obviously that's because of experience. What I am sold on is that the direction that he is taking this team is the right way to go. The direction that he's taking the program and just football at university as a whole, I like the way that this is being pushed.
I would agree. Defensively, I still have concerns about the direction offensively. I mean, I guess I feel good in general with Chaney kind of at the helm offensively. But I still have a few questions as to, I mean, what are we doing at quarterback? What's the plan there? Because I don't like this plan of pulling guys in and out. I hope that's just a short term solution for this year. I don't want that moving forward.
I can't imagine that would be any kind of case moving forward. Right, like this season for the quarterbacks has been so unbelievably weird. Everybody thought that JG was going to be the starter for the whole year. Well, maybe not everybody. I should say, Chance, you certainly did a good job at looking at the writing on the wall before the season. But, a lot of people assumed that JG was going to be the starter throughout the year. A lot of people assumed, including myself, that, he only had ways to go but up. And we obviously saw where that was at the beginning of the season. Didn't work. So then you go to Brian Maurer, but then Brian Maurer gets hurt. So now you just have this carousel of really three guys who are rotating in at different times, because I don't think that any one of them has had enough time via the coach's decision to not play them with Shrout, via injury with Maurer, or via just talent level so far in the season so far with Garantano. I think for each one of those reasons, you have not been able to have a consistent quarterback the whole year. And I think that has certainly hurt Tennessee. And now you're at a point where you have 2 games left in the season where none of your quarterbacks have been consistent for multiple weeks in a row. Consistently good, at least. Garantano was consistently in the game at the beginning of the year, but that doesn't mean he was good.
Right.
So I think that's the issue that Tennessee is fighting right now. That is certainly the issue why you saw in last week's game, Brian Maurer played the whole first half, and then they just said, man, you know what? You don't got it today. That's okay. We're going to go with Garantano. I think that because of all the different things that have been going on, I think that because of the such lack of consistency, that actually makes it easier for Tennessee to go make those kind of moves in the middle of the game for this season and this season alone. But, man, next year, if we don't have a starting quarterback going into the year, if it's not Brian Maurer, if it's not Harrison Bailey, if it's not one of these guys, then yeah, of course. Like I will certainly be looking at Jim Chaney saying, man, no one else is doing this. Why are we doing this right now? It doesn't seem right. But for now, I'm okay with it because we don't really have a lot of options.
Yeah, but I would agree. I mean, I just don't like that moving forward, and I don't think that's what they plan to do. I hope not, at least. But defensively, I feel very good. I think they've kind of figured things out. I think Derek Ansley's kind of he's a little bit more comfortable in that defensive coordinator role, and you've really seen a turnaround in this defense, and hopefully that carries over into next year, and you have a lot of guys that know what they're doing, and then you can kind of get these younger guys mixed in and not have to play a bunch of inexperienced guys. You can still go out and play guys that know what they're doing and then mix in your newer guys and bring them along slowly and really kind of crank that defense up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you've seen it this year. Defense is pretty good.
It is pretty good. And here's one of the things that I've really started to kind of figure out this year. At the beginning of the season, we knew that the defensive line was certainly going to be a struggle for Tennessee, correct? Or at least the defense. We knew that the defensive line was probably going to be the weak link. And I remember that my opinion was, and I don't know if you guys agreed with me, but I think that probably, yeah, because this makes sense, that the linebacker group was going to be the most important position to kind of make up for the struggles of the defensive line, right? Because those positions are so closely tied together. If the defensive line isn't good and maybe running backs are getting through the line, then your defensive linebackers are going to be right there to stop the ball. But what I think we've seen this year is that the secondary has been the most important in helping out the defensive line, at least in my opinion, because what you've been able to see is the defense is locking down on opposing wide receivers at a much better rate than I think that we expected them to. And I think that because you have so much confidence in your safeties right now, in your cornerbacks right now, that right there is allowing you the most freedom with what you're doing with the rest of the defense. When you are able to basically play Kentucky and know without a shadow of a doubt that, yes, their quarterback isn't really able to throw the ball, but even if he does, our secondary is far better, right? Like, our secondary will be there. When you know that for a fact, I think it gives you much more freedom to then, you know, have different blitz combinations with your linebackers. Maybe you sneak a safety down to rush. But you can help control the pass rush when your defensive secondary is that good. And that, to me, has been one of the biggest defensive things that I have noticed this year, is the better our secondary has been, the overall better our defense has been, and especially kind of the defensive line. Because I think that more people are getting added in to help them out with their rush. And that was not really something I expected from this year.
Yeah, and I mean, it helps when you've got Nigel Warrior, who's a guy that's, before this season, he had shown flashes of being that high level recruit, but I feel like he's put it together this year, and he's had himself a nice season. I think he's potentially played as well into maybe, I don't know if he'll get drafted. But I think he's played his way into position of maybe getting picked up by being an undrafted free agent in the NFL potentially. He's played really well. Same with Batuli, Batuli's been a guy that he's kind of been the rock of that defense. But
yeah.
Again, you get another consistent year out of him, and then Daryl Taylor. A guy who has had big games but has struggled with consistency, started out the year kind of a no-show and then has since, I feel like he's had a big year or at least the last few weeks, has been playing really well.
Yeah, for certain. And I think that, okay, so here's another thing that I've really liked in the way that I've seen development. We all know that development of UT players over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years has been mediocre to bad at best, right? And I truly, truly, truly believe that. But I think that what you're starting to see, especially from the defensive side of things, that's the only place I'm looking at for this opinion. But when you look at these defensive players, and especially the ones who have just been brought into the program, so the ones that are learning directly under Jeremy Pruitt, Derek Ansley for the first time, right? This is your Hank Tease, Quavarius Crouch, some of these other guys. I think that you are starting to see them play.
Bryce Thompson, Alante Taylor, two guys who were freshmen last year, but have still only been under.
Yeah,
under
I didn't even think about
staff.
That. But you're 100% right. The way that I think Jeremy Pruitt has some of these early guys playing, is very remarkable to me. The way that Hank T is playing right now, and we knew he was going to be great. We knew he was going to be a good recruit. We knew that he was going to have a lot of talent. He was going to bring those in, and those were going to get used immediately. But I think that we are seeing so much greatness from these young guys because of the scheme that they're learning right now, because of the different defensive strategies that they're learning. These guys are all over the field, making every single kind of tackle that you could ask for, and then more advanced things on top of that. I love the way these freshmen are learning in Jeremy Pruitt and Derek Ansley's defensive system. I love it. I love it a lot. Hey, we never talked about this, but this whole James Wiseman at Memphis thing has been very interesting. I know it kind of happened a couple days ago, but I saw that Memphis is playing tonight. So we might look into this. If you didn't know this story, it's a very interesting story, what's happening with James Wiseman at Memphis. We'll get into some college basketball talk after this break. Don't go anywhere, though. You listen to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. So this story came down last Friday afternoon, and we didn't really get to talk about it yesterday just because there was so much football to talk about. But weird things are happening on the western side of the state. Memphis star James Wiseman on Friday was ruled ineligible from the NCAA to play for Memphis this season. He is Memphis's number one recruit. He is a baller of all sorts. He's going to be likely a top five draft pick in this upcoming draft. But just a couple hours before Friday night's Memphis's opener on that Friday night, the NCAA came down and they ruled him ineligible to play. But then a couple hours later, a Shelby County judge granted Wiseman an emergency temporary restraining order, which would allow Wiseman to play that Friday night game against Illinois Chicago and then play basically whatever he wants from then. So here's the way that this breaks down, because to me it was very confusing. So the NCAA has already come out and they've said, we as the NCAA are not allowing James Wiseman to be eligible to play. However, because the Shelby County judge granted him a emergency temporary restraining order, Wiseman can play the entire year at Memphis's choosing. So by allowing Wiseman to play last Friday night, they can basically allow him to play at any time. They can allow him to play against whoever their team in the Phil Knight Invitational is tonight. They can allow him to play versus Tennessee. They can allow him to play every single game of the season. But then the NCAA can come back and say, hey, we ruled this guy ineligible. Just because you played him doesn't mean that he's not eligible anymore. We are now going to go back and take away wins. We're going to take away statistics. We're going to take away anything like that that the NCAA is now that the NCAA is going to be allowed to do. On Friday night, when James Wiseman did play for Memphis, the NCAA put out a statement that said, "The University of Memphis was notified that James Wiseman is likely ineligible. The university chose to play him and is ultimately responsible for ensuring its student athletes are eligible to play." So the NCAA is kind of turning this on Memphis now and saying, hey, we gave our statement. Now it's on you. You have to figure out if your student athlete can play or not. Clearly, it doesn't seem like the NCAA wants him to. Clearly, Memphis is still playing Wiseman as he scored 28 points in their season opener. This is a weird situation, isn't it?
A little bit. If we were Memphis fans, or if Tennessee was in a situation like this, we would all be saying, "To hell with the NCAA."
Yeah, we would say we would say "Hey, this is whenever." All right, was Penny maybe doing this for the long con? I don't know, but he was trying to help the kid back when they moved him, and we would all probably look at it. Rick Barnes did a nice thing for a kid in the community. Like, now, however it played out, we might be at the end like, well, it was kind of dumb. He's got to know that. But at the same time, I think it was a really nice thing that he did for that kid and his family. He had the money to do so. He was only a AAU coach at the time, I guess, whenever he did that. So it wasn't any ramifications there. And I guess if he was been a high school coach, I guess maybe he could have done that as well, too. It's just when you become a collegiate coach. I would say, too, the same thing. what Brandon said, to hell with the NCAA. I'm going to play them. I'm tired of the NCAA and, like, picking and choosing their battles. That's probably how I would look at it if this happened to Tennessee. Like, it's so trivial. Like, at the same time, I understand you're coaching the kid, and maybe that's an advantage, but I don't think it was that much of an advantage. They moved into town. He was already playing for East, you know, the year before. Penny takes the Memphis job. It lines up. His high school coach takes the Memphis job. He's already living in Memphis. He's probably going to go play for him. I don't think that him helping their family out had that much pull. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. But at the same time, NCAA is corrupt anyways, you know? We all know that, so I would probably be the same way. To hell with them.
Yeah, this one's weird for me in terms of just which side, like, I'm kind of pulling for, because you're right. God, I hate the NCAA. They suck. The NCAA, the worst. I just watched a really funny South Park episode with the NCAA, by the way, as well. That was pretty good. Remind me to show you that later. But the NCAA is as corrupt as it gets. Chance, you're absolutely right. This is an instance of what it seems like the NCAA picking and choosing its battles. On the other hand,
but
I hate Memphis.
Yes.
I hate Memphis. I hate Penny Hardaway. I hate the whole Memphis basketball team. I hate the school. I hate everything. You know, so I'm really kind of torn right now.
I want to see, like, the Vols play Memphis at full strength and beat them at full strength.
I don't. I'd rather play them without James Wiseman. I'm perfectly fine with a win that doesn't involve James Wiseman. I'm okay with
that.
You
can have a win with Wiseman out there.
Yeah, but
given that they come into Thompson Bowling Arena. We're going to start calling it the house that Rick is building. You know, there's no set in stone. They come in there and just ball out. Tennessee did put up a lot of points on them last year. Put up a hundo.
Yeah. Put up a Benjamin.
And now and that was at their place. Now you're at home.
So that's why I'm worried. So this is a weird situation. I hate Memphis. I want to call them dirty cheaters. I hate the NCAA. I want to call them dirty cheaters. But ultimately, I don't know what's going to happen in this. If it was a Tennessee player, I don't really know how I think I would handle this. I think it's different because Memphis does have, you know, postseason hopes. And I think that they certainly have good postseason hopes right now. You know, but you kind of always got to have that thought in the back of your head. Unless they do get things worked out at the NCAA, which certainly could happen. They could figure something out. But in the back of their head, they're thinking, oh man, I don't want to do this whole thing and then get all those wins taken away. It's going to be interesting to see what Penny Hardaway does. Hey, final segment of hour number... Oh, whoa! That was it for hour number one?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, dude. Keep your head on the swivel, kid.
It's been a good hour. Hour number two of The Blitz coming up next.